I honestly think psychologically there's a bit of a mess there, and I think it comes from before what we're talking about with Real Madrid.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every Premier League game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18 plus gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
You're very welcome back to Off the Ball. Kathleen McNamee here with you for the rest of the afternoon and evening in what is a very special show as we are celebrating Nollag na Mban. So you'll only be hearing female voices on the show today. Joining me now to chat through this afternoon's FA Cup action between Manchester United and Arsenal is Scarlett Heron. Scarlett, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Kathleen.
What are we expecting from this game? I mean, we saw yesterday City winning 8-0. It's not going to be that sort of a game. It's probably the main competitive game over the weekend in terms of big teams that people will recognise.
Yeah, I suppose when you're at this stage of the Cup, it's kind of all small teams, big teams, even Spurs. I think there was like 100 and something places between one of the teams.
96, I think it was.
96, yeah. Okay, there we go. So it's definitely the biggest game, and both teams, probably Man United more than anything, need a win here to stay in. Obviously, it's the sort of last cup competition they're in domestically anyway. So I think in the form they're in, haven't won since they beat City. That was nearly a month ago now. So they'll really be looking to get on this competition.
It's an interesting one because I've had this conversation with a couple of people over the last few days as to what this game means for Arsenal. Because I think, as you say, for United, it's quite obvious they need a win.
Yeah.
But for Arsenal, a week where, you know, not losing to Newcastle in the Carabao Cup, have that game against Spurs midweek in the North London Derby, which is a big game, this sandwiched in the middle of it is definitely not what they need right now. Mm. And some people are saying, well, Arteta should rest a few players, you know, there are more important games. But for me, being knocked out of the FA Cup to United, that's not a good signal for Arsenal's season, especially when you consider the fact that they're not going to win the Premier League at this stage.
Yeah, like there's such a big gap, even in the league this year with Liverpool running away with it. And Arsenal really, I think for Arteta, he kind of needs to look at getting some silverware. I think they won the competition in 2020, I think.
Yeah,
and since then, he's obviously built such a great foundation and they've been doing so well in the league campaign the last few seasons, but they've nothing to show for it. So I think, as you said, like the Arsenal sort of supporters need to sort of look at this as a chance to win some silver and sort of get a bit of a run going. I think United have knocked out the last time they've played like a holder in the competition. They've won the last two times. I think it was against City the last time. So obviously it's such a big game for Arsenal as well. But even with Saka out and the games coming thick and fast over Christmas, like as you said, they won't be wanting this game to come, but they need to just take it as it comes, I suppose. And they really, I think for morale and for something to show for Arteta's tenure, I think this competition is really important. Even if they just get a run going, they don't have to win it. But I think getting knocked out at this stage, as you said, by Manchester United would be a really disappointing end.
So you would be team put out as strong a team as possible?
I think so. Like you can't really, I understand the whole, there's injury worries for Arsenal at the minute, and there kind of always has been that sort of vibe around them the last few seasons that they've always struggled to keep players fit. But I do think that with the sort of the history of the competition, you should always, like they should be putting out a good team. Not to say that if a player isn't fully fit or if you want to save them for the Spurs game, that you can't rest a few players. But I think putting out a strong team is definitely something that they should be looking at doing.
What have you seen from Amorim since he's came in? I mean, he's kind of made quite a lot of excuses for how the team have performed so far, saying, you know, I haven't had enough time with them. I only get them a couple of days a week. I think this week or last week was the first time he had them properly for a full week of training. Obviously, there's so many different team issues in there in that it's a collection of players at the moment. It's not really a cohesive unit. Yeah. But what have you seen, or is there anything that would give you hope if you're a United supporter?
I think that Liverpool game was probably the first time you've seen the United playing properly. Even when they beat City, the first half, they were all over the place. So I think the game against Liverpool was sort of the first sign of hope, I suppose, for United, and even their system working really, really well. I think the midfield partnership of Maynou and Ugarte is a lot better than what they had with maybe like Casemiro, Eriksen in there.
It's just still so bad that like that was what they were reduced to, as a midfield of Casemiro and Eriksen.
I know. And you think that's like, people are talking about that being such a bad midfield, but you look at what they've won between them and the careers they've had. But anyway, I suppose that's what United do.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's the age they're at as well, probably at this stage of their career. That shouldn't be the backbone of your team.
No. And I think that sort of youth in midfield, I think they had a crazy amount of sort of interceptions and winning of like percentage duels in the midfield against Liverpool. So I even seen on someone did a breakdown, and the sort of the way they set up against Liverpool sort of trapped their wingers like Diaz to sort of having to drop deep, and then you're winning the ball up higher in the pitch, which is really positive for United. And then their back three is kind of covered by their wing backs, obviously working really hard as well. But yeah, I think the shape is very different, especially for a Premier League team. But I think he has the right ideas, but he just doesn't have the players at the minute. Not that the players he has aren't world class and they should be doing better with them, but it's what you said there. They're not a cohesive side. They're not really together. It's kind of a team of individuals. And I think until he can have a settled season, like off season, maybe to get a few transfers in, get some people out, I think until then, maybe next year, you'll see Amorin maybe actually make a difference on the pitch in terms of results.
What sort of player do you think Manchester United needs to go after? I know there are so many areas of the pitch where they're lacking, but what do you think is the most crucial thing that Amorin needs to solve?
I think it's the whole, if you look at like United of the past, I think that's like the ideal scenario. You talk about like the Manchester United way and players in like the 90s, that 99 team, 92 team. They were just so hardworking, and it was sort of the idea of like dying on the pitch. And I think the players nowadays, and this is not just Manchester United, this is other teams as well, it's players are sort of too obsessed with themselves and their own performance. They need to actually focus on their team themselves. I don't think it's one specific area that they need to improve on. I don't think it's one player knocking everybody down. It's just sort of getting behind the idea and getting behind the manager as well, because I think in the last 5 or 6 United managers, you can see when sort of things don't go United's way, it's immediately the players' turn. And I think the whole losing the dressing room idea has killed them over the years, because it's a group of players that aren't willing to go all in to a manager at once. And I think if Amorin can sort of turn that and get everyone on board, and then, as I say, get rid of a few players that maybe are causing a bit of a negative stir, then you're sort of on the right track.
Does he have the personality for that?
I think we're yet to see. I don't know. As you said, he's making a few excuses, but I feel sorry for him, because it's not an easy job to take on.
No.
And I think he has the ability as a manager. But as well as that, like, Premier League football is very different to like what he had at Sporting. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But I think it's the best appointment they've made so far out of all the managers they've picked.
Since Ferguson.
Yeah. I think. Don't quote me.
You've only said it on national radio now, Scarlett, so it's not like there's tens of thousands of people that can report this back to you in a year's time when he's on the chopping block.
I know. Hopefully now it happens, but I think if he sorts out the dressing room, they'll be successful. But
how much time should he be allowed to sort things out?
That's the thing, because I think nowadays it's like, 10 games in, they've won 1 out of 10. And it's like, oh, he needs the boot, like, get him out. And I get the fans turn against him. But I think if you give him 2-3 seasons, obviously, I think this year's a write off completely. I think this cup game maybe can, if they can get a good cup run and maybe win it again, then it will be a bit of a lift. But I think he needs, as I said, the off season and then go again next year. And I think even next year, he'll need time to rebuild. So I'm given 2-3 years. I think they need to be patient with it, but I'm not sure if they'll give the time to them.
Yeah, you'd hope that they would. I mean, it's kind of very apt for today, but I always use the example of Arteta at Arsenal. And, you know, that first year and a half wasn't great at all. It was only when he was able to kind of, I suppose, cut the likes of Aubameyang and bring in his style of football, bring in the players that he wanted, that things started to turn. But it did take a long time.
Mm.
I just suppose, I think if United fans were seeing some progress on the pitch, some good signings, getting Diallo to renew his contract, that's massive for them. He's going to be so key, I think, in the next couple of seasons for what they do. I don't think United fans will mind as much if the silverware isn't rolling in maybe in the way that they want it to.
Can't really get any worse, can it?
Well, that's the funny thing about United, though, is you have like those big results against, you know, the likes of City. Obviously, they weren't in a great place. And, you know, that performance against Liverpool was brilliant. But they're so quickly forgotten by the fans, because the next day they're turning around and they're losing to someone who's in a relegation spot. So it's such a tough one to balance for them. And I don't really know. I think if they got some more consistency against those bottom half teams and were putting in decent performances against the top half.
Yeah.
And that was a consistent thing, rather than going into every Manchester United game and not knowing if they're going to win 5-0 or lose 5-0. I think people would be happy.
Yeah.
Happier.
No, I agree. And even I think Amran said after the Liverpool game, he like went into the interview and he was fuming, and he was like, why haven't we performed like this for the last 6 weeks? Like, why is it today that they decide to show up, sort of thing? And I think that is the big thing. And even for any sort of sports person or like footballer, it's always harder to get hyped up for the smaller games, but then they're the ones that you can kind of slip up in, as United have been doing. So, I think he has a tough job in his hands. Like, you can't sit there and say that he is like this world-class group and he should be winning this after a year and da da da. Like, it's a really tough job at the minute, especially with all the backlash they're getting. But I do think if he gets time, he can take United back to a place where the fans want to go to Old Trafford. But I think for that to happen, you kind of need to look at the infrastructure of Old Trafford as well. Like, there's a lot of things going on there at the minute. So it's a really tough job to take at this time. But I do think, given the time, he can change the ways that United are going at the minute. And even like, you're looking at Diallo, like, that's exactly the sort of player you'd want in, like a player that is sort of willing to do anything for the manager, or do anything for the team, the crest sort of thing. And if you can get players like him around him, and players that suit the style of play, like, you look now, like, they don't have a striker that suits it. Like, I think, like, I did feel sorry for Xerxes. I don't know what game that was. He got whipped off after 30 minutes. Was getting Newcastle, maybe.
Newcastle, I think.
Like, and the fans booing him. Like, it's an awful place to be for him, but I just don't think he's not the striker they need. I don't think Hoyland is either. And it's just like, I suppose, getting the players that suit the style as well.
If you were to bring in someone from another team to fill that role, what sort of style of player would you be looking at?
God, that's a really good question, and I haven't thought of it. But I think every team in the league right now would look at like an Isaac and think you could transform whatever team you go into in the Premier League. And I actually was having a conversation with a few of my friends the other day, and we were saying, if Isaac was at Arsenal, would they win the league? Because it's sort of, they've been missing that 100%. Out-and-out striker for years. And it would just make such a difference. I think if you're looking at the likes of Chris Wood even having such a great season, it's so dependent on the environment you're in. Like, Chris Wood failed at so many other, not failed, but didn't live up to his potential at so many other clubs. And all of a sudden he gets into a team that, like, Nuno believes in him, and they're sort of playing to his strengths of like tall, strong striker. And all of a sudden he's having the season of his career. So it all just depends on who's the right striker for that environment. And at the minute, it would be a hard place for any striker to come into.
It's a hard club to attract people to at the moment.
At the minute, yeah. And that's not the way it should be. Like, it should be one of them things that if Man United come calling you, you drop everything and go out. But it's not the way it is at the minute. But I think, I don't know, I think it will improve, but this is really, I think this is near rock bottom at the minute.
I feel like every Manchester United fan says that, and then the next week something else happens and
it gets worse.
It gets worse. So where are the key battles that we're going to see today?
I think the midfield will be a very key area. Obviously, I think Rice will have his work cut out from with Diallo. I don't know. As well, I think that Arsenal's wingers need to be a bit more direct if they want to. Obviously, with United's sort of set up at times when they have the five at the back, like, I think Dalot's been brilliant for them, especially since Amran's come in. So I think the likes of Arsenal's wingers, whoever, I don't know who he's going to play, Martinelli, Trossard, whoever, I think they'll have the work cut out for them. Even with Missouri, I think he's playing quite well. I think Arsenal will probably be the team to I think they will event like they will come out on top in this game. But I think if United can play like they did against Liverpool, sort of overloading that midfield and really putting a lot of pressure on in the middle. Obviously, we don't know what other teams line up like, but I think Bijlmer is going to start in goal for United. Which would be interesting to see. And I also think that, sorry, on United, I think Lenny Yarrow is going to be someone to look out for, and I think he might get a game today. So,
what have you seen or heard about him that makes you think that?
Well, against Liverpool, he just came on and I just thought he was brilliant. He's sort of that, whatever, like he's the perfect centre-half that you're looking for, like tall, good on the ball, really like sort of persistent in his play. Like I think he's a really, really great sign. Obviously, I think he was injured for a while there, but I think he's a young player, obviously came from Lille, so I really do think he'll be great going forward for United and sort of that centre-half that you need. And I think he's perfect as well for the three, sort of having players behind him like De Ligt or whatever. So I think that back three could be looking at improving massively, especially if he can get more minutes, especially in the Premier League, just getting used to the whole setup, because obviously it's a big transition coming into the league when you don't really know the way it's the strikers in the league or whatever. So he'll have a lot to learn, but I think with a bit of guidance, obviously De Ligt's not that too long in the league either, but I think with a bit of guidance he'll be really, really good for United going forward.
It's interesting. Turning out to be a long day at the office for Tottenham. It's still nil all there.
Oh God.
55 minutes gone against Tamworth. It's 1-1 between Hull City and Doncaster Rovers in the other match that was on earlier today. We're going to look at a bit of the women's game as well. Obviously, we're in a break from the WSL at the moment, so we have Women's FA Cup is on. London City Lionesses are up 5-0 against Fulham. It's nil all between Newcastle and Nottingham. City only 1-0 up against Ipswich, so that'll be interesting how that goes. And then Sunderland are 4-1 up against Exeter City. A lot of those games today have been called off because of the hard ground. We saw recently Leo Leary, under-19s captain, signing for Bristol City. We were starved of her coming up against Katie McCabe potentially today because that game was called off. But brilliant to see another young Irish player getting the move.
Yeah, it's class. And like Leah's been so consistent over the last few years, and even her Euros campaign was brilliant with the 19s as well. So yeah, it's so well deserved for her. She's such like a niche talent as well. She sort of has that technical ability, able to just skip by players, and she has then the speed to sort of get up with it and just like breeze past defenders. Like obviously playing with her, it's been great. Like if you're ever in a rut, like just give it out and she'll probably beat three players with a ball in the box. And it's a great move for her, and it's really deserved. She's been brilliant the last few years, so yeah, I really hope it goes well for her. And it is, I was really looking forward because I think she was in the squad for
she was
AM.
Yeah.
And even if she had got on for a few minutes, it would have been cool to see sort of the young and old of the left hand side.
Yeah, that would have actually, I didn't even think about the positioning of the two of them. I just thought it would be funny seeing the two of them go up against each other. We will have an episode of the Koi Gig podcast this week chatting to Leah, so we'll hear a little bit more about her journey and how she has found it. What are your expectations for the second half of the WSL?
Well, I think Chelsea and City are obviously going to be the ones to sort of run off, and I think Chelsea will sort of run away with it again, and there's just such a huge gap between the two of them and everyone else. I think the relegation battle is probably the thing that's going to keep most people entertained in the league. Obviously there's a good few teams in it, and it's sort of that idea that one win could jump you about four places up the table. So it'll be interesting to see. I think a few teams have done quite well in the window. There hasn't been too much movement, just a few loan moves here and there.
No.
I think Sam Kerr is a good signing for Liverpool. I think everyone who's seen that headline kind of jumped for a second. And was
I
like,
know.
What?
There was that really funny tweet that went all over like women's football Twitter of the guy being like, you know, I'm a United fan, don't really follow the women's game, but like, bloody hell, like Sam Kerr, she not the best player in the world. That's some business. And I very much enjoyed the reaction to it. It was quite funny.
Yeah, and I seen that Spider-Man meme as well. Yeah. It's like Sam Kerr. It's funny. And I think she's a good signing for Liverpool. Liverpool are actually quite strong in midfield, like with Hulmeyer and Kerry Holland. So I think that's a strength in there, which is good for them. Everton have made a few signs as well, but like they need a striker or someone to score goals. Oh my God.
I saw Courtney Brosnan is like second in the league for most saves made so far. And I was like, that's absolutely no surprise. She's the only reason that Everton aren't doing worse than they already are at the moment. I think I thought was quite interesting. Hayley Ladd made that move from United to Everton. And a lot of United fans were quite unhappy with it and saying that they feel there's a bit of a trend with their players at the moment that their stalwarts are being let go or they're leaving the club and there's no kind of fanfare made about it or, you know, they're not given the opportunity to kind of have their goodbye moment.
Okay, yeah.
Which I thought was quite interesting.
Okay, I actually haven't seen anything of that, but I think even we talked about in the Koi Gig pod, the sort of having to, United need to start retaining their players and getting their contracts sorted out. So yeah, I'd say that is a bit of a concern for United fans. You're kind of left in a bit of unknown. And even, yeah, for players that are such servants to the club, fans will want an opportunity to say goodbye to them. But I guess that's just the nature of football. And like, it's the nature of the January window. And obviously there's a break in the WSL, which there isn't in the men's. So it's probably more of an issue than in the men's game. But yeah, I think there's been a few issues of that, even with the men's United team, that players didn't get a chance to say goodbye or maybe weren't recognised as much when they left the club. I know there was that whole thing with Jesse Lingard when he left, that he felt that he deserved more of a goodbye and for his service to the club since he was there since he was young. So yeah, that's interesting actually.
Good bit of business for them though in getting that 1 year contract extension for Grace Clinton.
Yeah, that's huge. Karen Duggan is going to be on the beer tonight. She'll be buzzing. No, that's brilliant. Obviously she's been class for them this year. Sort of running that midfield, popping up with goals, and obviously her defensive duties as well. I talk about the United press and sort of how powerful it is when it works for them, and she's obviously such a big part of that as well. So just giving that energy to that United team, she's been so important this year. And great news for any United fans.
Yeah, I mean, it seems stupid to say this in January, but it does feel like the title race is wrapped up pretty much with Chelsea. You know, there was that massive question mark over Van Persie coming in and if she could build on what Emma Hayes had done, and she's kind of gone beyond that.
Yeah, like I don't think anyone expected. Obviously, she was so successful when she was in France, but to come
in a very different league.
Yeah, to come into a new league like the WSL, to the unknown, and do so well so quickly is astonishing. What was it? She won 7 out of 7 of her first game.
Yeah, she's already beaten Emma Hayes' record for win streaks, which is mad.
Mad. She's it's a credit to her. And obviously to have the likes of Sam Kerr injured as well during all this, and to have a few injuries is bonkers. But I think we can kind of call it the race there, unless there's a massive slip, which I can't see happening. But even last year, when Chelsea sort of slipped away at the end of the year, and Emma Hayes even thought it was over. So you never know. It's always alive. But I think with the quality they have off the bench and the squad depth they have, I can't even see major injuries sort of creeping in or causing any sort of negative effect to their team, because they just have such quality in the squad to come on if anyone gets injured. So,
oh, well, like any other club, if you were to lose the talent of Sam Kerr, and Australian Sam Kerr this is, the actual one of the best players in the world, it would have such a mad ripple effect throughout the squad. But we don't even really talk about her anymore. You know, she's out of sight, out of mind, and it hasn't made any difference to the way that Chelsea have conducted themselves. And admittedly, like, Emma Hayes did leave a brilliant squad there, but at the same time, you have to be able to take that on. We saw how tired Chelsea looked at the end of last year, and they're just a totally different team now. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season goes. Yeah. Scarlett, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoy the rest of the FA Cup action. Still no score between Tamworth and Tottenham, so we will keep you updated.
I honestly think psychologically there's a bit of a mess there, and I think it comes from before what we're talking about with Real Madrid.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.